Work has run into a problem. People live for their jobs and find their lives ebbing away.
But Dr. Tony Evans says that's because we've misdirected the focus of our labor.
God doesn't want you to whistle while you work. He wants you to worship while you work.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Maybe you've heard the saying, do what you love, and you'll never work another day in your life. Well, Dr. Evans says the key to experiencing satisfaction at work has more to do with your motivation than your mood. Let's join him as he explains.
God created work, so work is not bad. In fact, God created work before sin ever entered the world. So when there was a perfect world and a perfect environment, there was perfect work. But when God created work, he created work to be, watch this, a partnership between him and the worker. When God first told the first worker, Adam, about work, he told him in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, he took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. I do not, Adam, want you to leave me out of your work. And to remind you, you're not to leave me out of your work. I'm going to put this tree in the middle of the garden because I don't want you figuring this thing out without me. Your work is to include me. There's no such thing as work without me. This partnership goes further because in chapter 2, verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. So not only did he have to do the work, he had to use his brain. So I want to establish that work created by God was always deemed to be a partnership. Work was designed to produce divinely authorized good, that is benefit, and service through the righteous cultivation and development of Earth's resources. So that is what work was designed to do. God placed a reminder that he was not to be left out of work. He established the Sabbath. The Bible says he created 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, but because he wanted to enjoy what he had done all week. So he rested, that is, he relaxed to enjoy himself. And why shouldn't he enjoy himself? There was nobody else to enjoy. Then he gave the Sabbath to mankind. And he said, now, what I want you to do is I want you to work 6 days, but you don't touch that seventh day. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible has flexed the day. It doesn't have to be Saturday, but it does have to be the system. That was one day when you did not work. God says, if you work 7 days, I'm going to work against you. He told them when the manna was floating down from heaven, he says, on 6 days you gather the manna, on the sixth day you gather enough for 2 days, but don't you go out and try to gather no manna on the seventh day. If you go out and try to gather the manna on the seventh day, the manna you have will grow rotten. Because I want that one day for you to remember I am your source. And there is no job, no work, no salary, no income, no economics if there is no God. So on this one day, you don't go profiteering. You don't go trying to fix it all up on this one day, because that's the day to remember this is a partnership. And work is not to exist independently of me. Work has run into a problem. You see, what Adam and Eve did was they separated work from God. When they decided to act independently of God, the Bible says there was a curse. And part of the curse affected work. Chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust. When you separated from me, you cursed your employment. Because Adam was a farmer, and Adam was supposed to till the ground, and it was going to be easy and natural. He wasn't going to break out in a sweat. He wasn't going to get too tired. It was going to be a joyful experience to go to work. But because he separated work from God and there was a curse, now work was going to be a troubling experience. He was now not going to enjoy it. It would now be a toil. He would now be sweating because of all that would be demanded of him. And he would have to work in an environment, it says, of thorns and thistles, which stick you, prick you, cut you, irritate you. And now he's got to have an irritation experience on the job. I wonder, do any of you work around thorns and thistle people? Thorns and thistle bosses, or maybe you are the thorn and thistle. But the environment is not going to be necessarily engaging. You're still going to have to work, but you're working in the context of a cursed environment. Why? Because there was an illegitimate separation between Sunday and Monday. Sunday I worship God, Monday I go to work. That's an illegitimate separation. Once you disconnect God from work, you are now partnering with the curse. You're partnering with the thing that was judgment and not the thing that was meant to be a blessing, as work was meant to be. See, many of us worship God on Sunday, but we got another God on Monday called our career. I mean, it's called our education that's prepared us for our career. And it's worship. How do we know it's worship? Because it gets our attention, our affection, our dedication, our loyalty. It gets everything we have got. That's worship. God doesn't want you to whistle while you work. He wants you to worship while you work. Because he never expected work to become disconnected with him. Let me tell you about some of the thorns and thistles that have grown up around work, because work has been disconnected from God, which was never his intention. There's the thorn and thistle of injustice, where people are put in situations of work that are not fair. They're put in evil systems of work. Oppressive forced labor, 1 Samuel 8, verses 11 to 18. He says, the government will put you in a position where you will be in forced labor, not voluntary labor, based on injustice, kidnapping, and a myriad of other evils, because it got disconnected properly and righteously from God. Predatory lending, Nehemiah 5, 1 to 8. Where the poor had to borrow an illegitimate interest rates and payday loans with outrageous interest usury would be used to keep people poor and to keep them oppressed. All because God got separated from work. The thorn and thistle of greed. Greed is where I want to make more at your expense. And so there's a thorn and thistle when God gets separated from work. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 17 to 24 says, when God gets separated from work, vanity sets in. Emptiness sets in. Because the career can't give you life and meaning and hope. It can give you a job, it can give you money, but it can't give you meaning. People live for their jobs and find their lives ebbing away. Not because it's wrong to work. Work was established by God. It's wrong to work with God not a part of the job. He expects to be part of the work. And he says, when I'm included, you can have pleasure. When I'm not included, it's going to be a disaster. thorns and thistles of the mismanagement of employees by employers. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15, where workers are oppressed and not treated fairly and are abused. The thorn and thistle of abuse. That's why James 5, verse 5, condemns the employer for holding out on his employees, not paying their wages, not paying fair wages, not paying wages on time. And then the Bible condemns whole economic systems that have been set up to have a centralized approach to economic well-being. The Bible teaches in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, that a centralized, top-down economic system is the economic system of the Antichrist. And so you have oppressive governments with top-down economic systems, overtaxation, and a myriad of other illegitimate economic practices, and the Bible says those economies come out of hell. So we're dealing with a theology of work, not a sociology of work. Because you are a kingdom steward of this creation, and God created work, but he never ever thought he would be detached from it. And so we live in a day where we have to work in a cursed environment. You see it every day when you go to your jobs. You see people doing things that are illegitimate. You see them talking ways that are illegitimate, working ways that are illegitimate. Why? Because we live and work in a cursed environment. That's our reality. So the question on the floor is, God created work, said work is good, wants to partner with my work. But because of the detachment of God from culture, God from man, and God from work, I now have to go to work in a cursed environment. I got to go to work with or around thorns and thistles. I got to be needled on the job. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I don't make enough. And a myriad of other things that make work dissatisfying, even though we've got to do it. So how do we balance the fact God created it, but I got to do it in a curse? How do I find meaning in my work?
Dr. Evans will come back with the simple but profound answer to that question when he continues today's teaching in just a moment. When we have the right motivation for stewardship, we bring our entire life into alignment under God, not just our job, our money, and possessions, but also our problems, our purpose, and the path God wants us to follow. That's why Tony's written a new book to take you deeper into this important subject. It's called Kingdom Stewardship, and it's part of a comprehensive resource bundle we'd like to send you as our gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with the book, you'll get his current 12-message, 2-volume teaching series on CD, an in-depth study guide that'll walk you day by day through these important principles, plus a companion DVD full of custom Bible study sessions with Tony, not available anywhere else. And it's all yours as our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this ministry that's changing lives across the country and around the world. This offer expires in just a few days, so be sure to make the arrangements right away. Visit TonyEvans.org or reach out to our resource team for some in-person help at 1-800-800-3222. Well, Tony's back now with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
How do I find meaning in my work? Well, you got to reconnect what got disconnected. You got to reconnect something God never intended to be disconnected. You got to carry God to work with you tomorrow. You got to carry God to work with you. I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about you have to carry God on the job beginning tomorrow and every day you go to work. Or to school, or whatever you do. You must carry God with you. Okay, let's develop that a little bit. Colossians chapter 3. Half of the Roman population were slaves. So slave was a normal way of life. So this isn't the job you would apply for. He says in verse 22, Slaves, in all things obey your masters on earth, not with external service as those merely pleasing men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. You want the slave to work for the Lord. Okay, verse 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. Put everything you got in it. As for the Lord, rather than for men. Read Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 28 sometime this week. Daniel is working for a pagan government. He's got some haters in his division. He's got some folk who don't like him, who can't stand him, and who want to get rid of him. So they plot to get rid of Daniel. They say, we got to get rid of him because this guy too Christian here. So let's get rid of Daniel. So the first plot was to find something wrong with his work. But it says, search as they couldn't find anything with his work. Went to work on time, did what he's supposed to do, did what it better than everybody else, didn't steal pens and pencils from the office, take them home. He wasn't doing any of that. Daniel was working hard, taking care of his business, and they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. So they plotted. They said, well, now, we couldn't find anything wrong with his work because this guy works is excellent. His work was extraordinary, he calls it. So let's find out something wrong with his God. Let's get rid of him because of his faith. So they go to the king and say, you got this guy working for you who's really not committed to you. He's too religious. So I think you ought to pass a law that nobody can pray to any other god for 30 days. So the king signs off on it, the law of the Medes and Persians, which did not change. So it was a fixed law. It says, when Daniel heard that the document had been signed, you can't pray to any other god. They tried to put him in a catch-22. You can't pray to any other god or you're going to be fired. It says Daniel went home. Now, he ain't build an altar on the job, drop on his knees at his desk. He ain't do all that, you know. He went home. It says he dropped to his knees with the windows open. Now, I'm sure many of us, if we would have dropped to our knees, we would at least close the windows so nobody would see. He had the windows open toward Jerusalem where the temple was, and he faced God. God, this is my situation. The company's against me. The government's against me. Even the law is against me. But you're my God. You're my source. And I'm looking to you, even though they're going to fire me for praying to you. So the enemies were looking in the window, saw him praying to his God, the Bible says, as he always did. So he wasn't just doing it because he was getting ready to get fired. He was doing it because that was his habit related to his job. So this was the way he rolled. So he prayed. They told the king, you got to get rid of him. And the king threw him in the lion's den. Some of you tomorrow are going to a lion's den. You're going to a place that does not respect you, that does not respect your faith, that does not want your value system, and you will have to be thrown to the lions. They threw him to the lion's den. So please notice, just because you're following God doesn't mean you won't face lions. Just because you're following God doesn't mean people won't plot against you or politic against you in the office. They will do that because we're living in a curse. But even though they did that, the Bible says that he was there with the lions. The king came the next day, and here's what the king said. Daniel, has the God who you served been able to deliver you from the lion? I hope you ain't missed that. He said, Daniel, does the God who you serve, was he able to deliver you from the lion? Now, how could the king ask him about the God he served unless he knew he served the God? In other words, it was clear to the head of the company that this man was a believer in God, served God, but he didn't go around handing tracts out every day. He didn't go out having prayer meetings every day. He did his work with such extraordinary excellence and then gave God the glory for it, and the company was profiting. So he says, is the God who you've been talking about, serving, believing in, saying your prayers at lunchtime, not going around acting like everybody else, I just want to know, has that God worked out for you? Daniel said, oh king, let it be known to you, these lions were my pillow last night, because I was just laying on those lions because God took care of me. Even if you get fired by your enemy, God has the last say so. Oh, but the story is not over, because it goes on to say the king got all of the haters who were hating on Daniel and threw them all into the lion's den. All of a sudden, the lions woke up and decided they wanted something to eat and ate all of the haters. Not only that, but on top of that, Daniel got a promotion. So I'm telling you, if you start taking God to work, he can turn things around. That's why the Bible says, when you go to work, Psalm 90 verse 17, ask God to bless your work. So when you go to work tomorrow, ask God to bless your work. And then I love Psalm 105 verses 43 to 45, which says, if you will take God to work, and if you will bless God at work, what God will do is he will take from the sinner and he will switch it over to the saint. He will take, he says, you know why you got a land flowing with milk and honey? Because I let the sinners plant. I let the sinners seed. I let the sinners build houses. I let the sinners build businesses. And when you were ready to obey me, follow me, and include me, I just turned over to you what I had sinners preparing for you. God may have something prepared for you by somebody else. He's just waiting for you to include him before he delivers it to you. What I'm trying to say is, take God to work.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with some great real-life examples of that principle. Stay with us.
You were created to make a difference. It's your calling. It's why you are here. So how do you lead a life of lasting impact and legacy? That's what Dr. Tony Evans reveals in his new book, Kingdom Stewardship. Tony is partnered with Focus on the Family to bring you this powerful new title, which goes into great detail on how you can best use your time, talents, thoughts, and treasures to build God's kingdom on earth, bring him glory, and pursue being the best you can be. Get your copy of Kingdom Stewardship today at TonyEvans.org.
Don't forget, this brand new book is part of the Kingdom Stewardship Resource Bundle I told you about earlier. It includes the book, the 12-lesson CD collection, the companion study guide, and a DVD full of custom Bible study sessions to use alone or with a small group. They're all yours with our thanks for your contribution to help make this program possible, but only through Tuesday. Call our Resource Center today at 1-800-800-3222 or visit us online at tonyevans.org. On Monday, Dr. Evans will teach us why it's never too late to win the spiritual battles in our lives, including the ones we thought we already lost. Right now, though, he's back with these closing comments for today.
Interstate Battery started off as a small battery company, all right? It's now the largest battery company in the world. If you go on the website and ask for their mission statement, the mission statement of Interstate Battery, we're talking about batteries, but the mission statement for Interstate Battery is, our mission is to glorify God by providing our customers with the best possible service with their batteries. If you go to Chick-fil-A website, I'm talking about chicken. I'm talking about places closed on Sunday. But a Fortune 500 company, their mission statement is, we are here to glorify God by providing our customers quality service in what we provide them. In other words, they don't apologize. They don't apologize, and they still make a profit and don't work on Sunday because they have included God in their business. You say, but I'm a banker. Take God to the bank. I'm a grocery store worker. Take God to the food aisle. You take God with you. You give God glory. You ask God to bless the work, and you operate as a kingdom steward on your job so that you can reverse the curse. You can reverse the curse, and you can see God bring himself to your employment.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.